You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
I got the board out because I'm so excited. I'm learning even more and more about money. And I want to share with y'all some things that I'm learning and studying. I was getting ready to just go back and get a MBA in finance. Seriously, just so I could help y'all more. Because I'm telling you, really, I'm good. But I know the assignment on my life, God has told me to raise up millionaires for the kingdom of God. That's part of my assignment. Okay, so don't get mad at me when you hear people talking about I preach about money and teach about money. I do. I was broke. I came out of poverty. My own family, when I say that's the family I came from, but the family that I created at that one point, we wouldn't say that then. I dare would not say that then, but we were in poverty. We were under the poverty line. Okay, when you look at a family of if you had one child, if you was making $20,000 or less, you was in poverty. Then just look like when we get over the poverty line, Pastor Marcia make another baby and put us back under the poverty line. So now you spoke. We have a family of four. Now you're supposed to have at least $25,000. And really, so I mean, we were, but God has raised us up and God has blessed us and God now has made us pillars of provision in the kingdom of God. Amen. And Pastor Marcia and I, we're able to give like at least $100,000 a year into the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I just want to tell you where God can take you. But we didn't start there. There were principles I had to learn, and I want to share and help you all to understand that it is the will of God for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's the will of God for you to have financial freedom. As I'm saying things, I'm just going to write them. Okay, bring me down here. Bring down here, Jim. Everybody's heard this term financial freedom, right? Okay. When we hear financial freedom, a lot of us, when we think of financial freedom, we think financial freedom automatically means you're a millionaire and all that. But I'm going to give you a definition of financial freedom. Okay. Financial freedom is the ability to make decisions. Okay. Without thinking about money. The ability to make decisions without thinking about money. I couldn't erase it. If I had to erase it, but I'd erase it and state a different way. Without money as the primary determinant of that decision. The ability to make decisions without finances as the primary determinant of that decision. Okay? So you say, I'm going on vacation this year. If you got financial freedom, you say, yeah, I'm going on vacation this year. If you have, if you're always concerned about money, you're like, I ain't going on vacation nowhere. I can't go to North Charleston, North Charleston. Okay. So financial freedom is the ability to make decisions without money as the primary determinant of that decision. Okay. So, this week I was supposed to be in Africa this week with Bishop Jakes. He was taking a group to Africa, and I had all paid. When the decision came up to go to Africa, it wasn't a decision about money. The whole issue was: should I go? Is it the time to go? What else do I have to do right now? Y'all following me? It wasn't about if I'm gonna have money to go. It was about if I should go. How does it affect other things? But money wasn't the primary determinant of that decision. As a matter of fact, I canceled it about 3 weeks ago and I may have lost some money. Okay. So other things came into play. So God wants you to have financial freedom that you can make decisions without finances being the primary determinant of that decision. Does that make sense? All right. So with that, we've been talking about, we started looking at how do you increase finances. We're still on the outline, and I'm using it as a base, and I'm adding stuff and editing it as I go on faith, family, and finances. So we started looking at, we've looked at the fact that God's concerned about your family, why God wants to finance you, increase you, and which is really important, because all those are the basis. Well, what you got to be about money? What you need to increase for? I gave you all the reasons, okay? I gave you at least 8 reasons, or 9 of them. The last 2 was to enjoy life and because it pleases him. Then we started looking at how to cause financial increase to come upon you and your family. And number one, we said, you got to be a tither and a giver. You have to put God first in your finances. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to just a finance class now. I'm talking to Christians. If God is going to bless you in your finances, I'm not just talking about natural increase. If you want to get connected to supernatural increase, and since we are God's people, we should want to have supernatural increase. Things that happen that we know God did this. When we talk about favor, we talk about breakthrough, we talk about supernatural increase. So we're talking about the God factor. If you're going to increase God's way and to have supernatural increase, you're going to have to start with tithing and giving. Putting God first in your finances. Gave you several scriptures on that. Proverbs 3:3-9. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, every man lay aside in stores. God has prospered him. So you got to put God first in your finances. Secondly, and I want to pick up here, you got to be a good steward of what you have. If God is going to bless you and increase you, you must be a good steward of what you have. Go look at Matthew 25 again. In Matthew 25, where the Lord rebukes the unfaithful one who had the talent, he gives a principle there. Matthew 25:29. He takes the talent away from the one, give it to him that has 5. The one who had 5, who reproduced and got 5 more. But here's the principle. Everyone that hath shall to everyone, for unto everyone that hath shall be given. And he shall have what? Abundance. That's the key to abundance. That's the key to abundance. The scripture gives you the key to abundance. You got to have. You have to have. If you're broke all the time, it's not that you're not broke because you don't have abundance. You're not sitting broke because you don't have abundance. You'll never have abundance because you're always broke. God's saying, I can't trust you with abundance because you're always broke. You never learn to manage what you have. I'm not going to give you more to waste. So you demonstrate that I'm always able to have something, and then God increases that. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, and from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Do y'all see that principle? It's put this way. Politicians use it. Everybody uses it, but it is what it is, but it's a biblical principle. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And sooner or later, you have to say, well, I got to become, if the rich keep getting richer, then I got to become one of the rich ones then. Because they're getting richer. And the poor are getting poorer. So I got to get on the right side of that equation. Or you can listen to that and just think you're a victim. Well, I guess I'll just always be poor. No, that should never be the mentality of a believer. Amen. So you're going to have to be a good steward of what you have. You're going to have to learn to manage what you have, which is stewardship. Stewardship is this recognition that everything I have, God has given me. I don't own it, but I administrate over it. And I watch over it. As I was dedicating a child in second service, Chloe Basket, I reminded the parents, we call ourselves parents, but we're stewards over these babies. We're stewards over these children. God gives them to us and says, now take care of them. Now, we can clearly understand that with Joseph and Mary, right? okay, that God chose them to bring his son into the earth. And he chose a man named Joseph, who was a godly man. And he chose this young godly girl named Mary. And they were to be stewards. They were to take care of this gift that God was sending to the earth. Can I tell you, your child is no less important to God even than Jesus was. We're stewards over it. So we have to see, I'm stewards over these children. Okay, we can stand that. But can I, let's take a little further. You're stewards over that house. You're stewards over that car. And the way you show to God you're ready for more, you steward over what you have. God, you gave it to me. I'm going to take care of it so I can trust. So you can show, I can demonstrate to you that you can trust me with more. Luke 12:42. Need to try to work with me quickly here. I know y'all don't have all these scriptures. Luke 12:42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household? We see that promotion going to come through being a good steward. You see that? The Lord going to make him rule over it. And to give him their portion of meat in due season. He says, when you are wise and a good steward, God's going to make sure you have your portion in due season. Let me make it plainer. You'll have it when you need it, and it'll be there when you get there. If you're a good steward, God will promote you and he'll make sure you have your portion in due season. You'll have what you need when you need it. But it starts with being a good steward. Steward means God owns it. I manage it. Everybody say, God owns it. I manage it. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says it's required of stewards. It is required in stewards that a man be what? Found faithful. So this is really saying, before I make you a steward, you need to demonstrate a certain amount of faithfulness before I put you over something. So I don't mean any harm, but there's people around here, even people in this room, who got keys to the church. Now, you don't just walk in here one day and say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I love the Lord, and we give you keys to the church. Am I right? You have to demonstrate some level of faithfulness, some level of accountability, some level of trustworthiness before we're going to give you keys to anything. Okay. You know, there's certain ministries that I'm not necessarily involved in anybody who does it, but there's certain ministries, I need to know who that person is. You know, somebody just walking to church. I just got saved last night, but I just want to know, can I count the money? No. That ain't where we're going to start with you. We can't just put you over. Come on now. We don't know you. You haven't demonstrated any faithfulness. It's required. That's the word I want you to see. It's required in stewards that you be faithful. God said, before you be my steward, you're going to have to demonstrate some faithfulness with what you have. Right now, we're talking about finances. Amen? So Luke 16:2, when the man who had to be shrewd and come up with a way so he wouldn't, well, he was going to get fired, that he could take care of himself after he got fired because he had been mismanaging money. But he called him and said unto him, how is this I hear this of thee, that you're wasting my money, that you're not really managing my stuff right? Give an account of thy stewardship. Watch this, because if you can't give an account for it, here's going to be the result. Thou mayest no longer be steward. Thou mayest be no longer steward. God said, if you can't give an account, so watch this. The believer, if you want God to increase you, you got to stop saying, I don't know where my money went. That's the problem. Because you can't give an account of your stewardship. Why should God give you more money? Y'all quiet on me here. How many times you hear, I don't know where my money went. I just don't know. God said, okay. Well, once you know, come talk to me. Because I ain't giving you no more as long as you don't know. Because it's required of a steward that you be faithful. And if you can't give an account, you're not going to be my steward. Okay, let me make it a little plainer. Our treasurer for the church, Sister Cheryl Williams, Okay, she'd been working for me, I don't know, for close to 20 years. She managed the finances church. She prepared the checks. I signed checks, certain ones. Okay, but for most part, I tell her things I want done. She got to manage over and minister straight over it. And whenever I ask her for something, she smiles. Whenever they ask her for something, she frowns. But if we have put aside $50,000 to get the road paved, and I come to her and say, let's take that. Pastor, I don't know where that $50,000. I don't know where that $50,000. I'm just supposed to say, okay, well, we'll come up with it. How many of y'all know she probably ain't going to have a job? No, her job is to watch over this and give an account. Now, if she say to me, now, Pastor, we had it, but when you told me just write the check to so-and-so and send this out to here, and she showed me, well, this is where that money went. Now I can understand. But to just say, I don't know where that money went. How many times do we do that and we wonder why God's not increasing us? You always say, I just don't know where my money went. As long as you keep saying, I don't know where my money. So at some point, you're going to have to start watching your money so you can say where my money went. Okay, let's make it a little simpler. I raised my children. I gave them allowances. I really encourage all parents to do that. Okay, I know a lot of you didn't. That's not what you heard and how you raised. But the reason why it's good to give your children allowances is because you're teaching them to balance money and to manage money. And you're teaching them to get used to money at particular intervals. Just like y'all do when you got to wait on the 1st and the 15th and every other Friday or every Friday, whatever. Okay? So you give them on Friday, they get their allowance. Or Saturday, okay? And they know, depending on the age, if they're 10, they may get $5, $3, okay? And they know they don't get any more money until next Friday. Okay? So my children in high school, and let's say I would give them, say it was $25 a week. Okay? That, now, regular stuff like school meals and all those kinds of stuff, but all their little extra money, they at the football game, they want to get some chips. Well, that needs to come out the allowance. So you give them money and they're able to do that. And then, but one of them comes and says, well, Dad, I know I got my allowance Saturday. Here's Monday, but can I have $25? What happened to your money? I don't know where my money went. You want to give them another $25? Okay. But if that same child comes to you and say, I know you gave $25, but what happened that I had forgot that there was I didn't want to bother you. There was a school trip that I forgot to turn the paper in, and they said that we were supposed to have the $15 in, and I took the $15 and I paid for the school trip. And then I saw I know you usually do, but my lunch account was low, and I had to put another $10 in my lunch account, and that's why. Now you're ready to give another $25, right? Come on. Do you think God is as smart as us? He'll give us more if we can account for why we need it and where it's been. That's real simple, y'all. So we have to be good stewards. Proverbs. Let me see. What's the last scripture I gave you? Go to Luke 15. Luke 15, 14 through 16. The prodigal son, what happened to the prodigal son? His father gave him all the money, right, that he asked for. And when he did what? He spent it all. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So he wasted all his money. Now watch this. And now, because he spent all, now he starts making bad decisions. He went and joined himself to the payday loan place. He went and joined himself, made a contract with Title Max. Don't y'all get mad at me. Some of y'all, you look so guilty when I say certain things, you're like. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. The Bible says he's in a far country. The implication is he's in an environment he probably shouldn't be in, with people he shouldn't be associated with. He went to a far country and he joined himself. Now when it says join himself, I mean he got connected with somebody in this foreign country that he should not have. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now Jesus is writing to a Jewish kosher people. I mean, this scripture is being written to and who's being talked about, the context of it. Is to people who said, my goodness, the last thing I'm going to be doing is working in somebody's pig pen. You ain't sending me in no pig pen. He said, but he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16. And would fain have filled his belly with husks that the swine did eat. Man, there's so much in here that I've never taught, but it's been coming to me as I've been reading this here. Now his diet changes because he's poor. He's eating stuff he shouldn't eat. He's just trying to make it. So now he's no longer living good. Now he's no longer working. He don't even have a, he's not even, his occupation is not even dignified. And now his diet is even bad. He would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The main thing I want you to see here is that the prodigal son was a bad steward. That's what I want you to see here. And it wasn't the famine that took him out. It was spending all his money, so he wasn't prepared for the famine. Okay? Famine represent an economic downturn, a turn in the economy, recession. Okay? And the great recession, I praise God, I got a whole lot of stuff, but God took us through because all my money wasn't obligated. I wasn't spending all my money. The truth of the matter is, and I'm not saying it to hurt anybody, making anybody feel bad, a lot of people lost their house during the recession, but a lot of people lost their house because they had a house they should have never had. Now, nobody's talking about that. And just because somebody's going to prove you for something don't mean you should do it. They got a different interest than you. They just want payments. You got to live in this. So he wasn't a good steward. Proverbs 27, 23. Proverbs 27, 23. So this says now, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. The Bible's written in the agricultural economy. Okay, most people are farmers, either raise some type of livestock or they grew some type of vegetation. So he says now, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Today we would simply say, you need to know where your money is going. Be diligent to know the state of your flock and look well to your herds. Watch over your money. Verse 24, for riches are not forever. What? He's saying that money is not infinite. Doth the crown endure to every generation? Here's the real deal here. When it says, does the crown endure, it's saying just because someone's a king and was rich, does that mean automatically children going to be rich? And ask a question, doth it endure forever? It can. That's what I'm studying about right now. See, because for years I said stuff like, and I'm a little, I told people we get a little real nervous when pastors talk about dying and stuff. But if the upper table taker don't come, we're gonna go to the undertaker, including me. Okay, and so most likely, let me see. Well, I'm right a half based upon 120. I'm a little bit about halfway there. Okay. But it won't be many years from now that I'll have more years behind me than in front of me. So I used to just say stuff about leaving money, leaving the inheritance. Now I'm concerned about how they manage that inheritance. Because I've seen too many folks that leave a whole bunch of money, okay, and the children in one generation or one year go get a car and go get this and go get that. And everything I've worked for 50 years is gone. So now I'm studying about how to get this crown to endure to every generation. Because you just leave a lump sum of money. Let me use nice words. To unwise people. It's going to be gone like that. And my legacy will go, he sure left us a lot. And then what happened? So the issue is, does the crown endure to every generation? He said, no, not if folks aren't watching over the money.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Life does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Faith, Family, and Finances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.